It's good to see you this morning. I don't know if we have visitors or guests, but it's good to see you. I understand many are gone on vacations and so forth. It's a busy time. You know, summer is going quickly. Today is August the 2nd already. Can you believe it? And I saw this week, I think it was Facebook, a map of forecast for the winter. I won't tell you, but you may want to get more wood, for the fireplace. But time will tell. I just want to say this before we dig into God's Word. You seem to have a wonderful congregation. And I'm reminded, whenever I'm here, of a verse that says, wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He's in the midst. And I think we need to be reminded from time to time, when we gather together, He's with us. Amen? Yeah, His presence is with us. I think it's interesting. Jesus said, wherever two or three gather, probably the smallest number of any group is two. Amen? And we don't usually think of two as a group. We usually think of it as a couple. But Jesus, wherever two or three are gathered by day, there I am in the midst of them. I read about a henpecked husband. He went to a psychologist and told the psychologist how his wife mistreated him and so forth. And the psychologist said, well, you just need to assert yourself. And so he went home and he slammed the door and put his fist in front of his wife and said, now I want you to listen to my orders. I'm sure that went over very well. And then he said to her, well, I want dinner on the table now. And I'm going out with the guys tonight, and I want you to get my clothes and put them on the bed and so forth. And he said, by one more thing, do you know who's going to tie my bow tie? And she said, without any hesitation, yes, the undertaker. Now, men, I would not advise you to go home. And you might say, I got something for Bob's sermon this morning. Well, I hope you don't apply that part of it. When you go home. But really, all of us, I guess there's a tendency that all of us want to be the boss. And even as Christians, we want to be the boss. I one time was at a church pastoring, there was a problem. And I went to one of the men in the church. He was a son of the man who was part of the problem. And I said, what we all need to learn to do as Christians is we need to learn to die. Amen? We need to die to self. And continually throughout life, we want to assert ourselves, the old life, the old person, and we want to be boss. And I understand that your pastor is going to do a series of messages on the Holy Spirit. And I thought we'd continue that this morning. If you have your Bibles, just one verse we're going to look at, but if you want to turn to it, Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. As you're turning, let me tell you about the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians is basically about the church and what the church is and the function of the church and the purpose of the church. It's a wonderful book. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gave to believers, that we all have a spiritual gift. Every Christian has a gift from God, and we're to use those gifts for the advancement of His church and for the glory of God. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, a wild living in a depraved lifestyle. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. As we read the Scriptures, we learn about God. And one thing the Scriptures tells us about God is He's a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I think it's always interesting to me that it's always in that order. It's never the Spirit, the Father, the Son. It's always God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. And the Bible teaches us, the scriptures, that God is a person. He's a triune God. The Bible teaches he's one. God is one person, but three persons, three aspects. And don't ask me to explain, because no theologian can really explain that. But that's what the scriptures teach. God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. And many Christians, as we talk, what we talk about, it seems, often is we talk about Jesus. And rightfully so. We talk about his death and resurrection. We talk that he died for our sins and that he's our Savior, and rightfully so. And we seem to shy away from talking, some Christians shy away from talking about the Holy Spirit, because in some circles, perhaps, he has been overemphasized and so forth. And we shy away from it. I believe that the one that's neglected the most, probably, just my thought, is God the Father. If I was to write a book, or you write a book about the Son, we would have plenty to write about Jesus Christ the Son. Amen? If I asked you to write about the Holy Spirit, you could write a book about the Holy Spirit. But if I ask you, well, write a book about God the Father, we'd be hard-pressed. Perhaps the most familiar verse tells us about the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave who? His Son. Who's God referring to there, the word God? For God the Father so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe probably the person that's neglected the most, and we don't think of often, is God the Father. We think of God the Son, rightfully so, and often. And we think perhaps sometimes of God the Holy Spirit. And I want to look at that verse, Ephesians, but first let me share with you that the Holy Spirit is extremely important in the Christian's life. Extremely, a major part of the Christian life. I'm going to share several things. First of all, the Bible teaches that every Christian has been regenerated or born again by the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 3 that you must be born again. And he says in that chapter passage, born of the Spirit. You're born physically, but you and I need to be born also spiritually if we're going to know God in a personal way. In Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, it says, at one time, we too, he's talking to believers, he said, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. That's the life beforehand. BC, before conversion, before we came to know Christ. We live in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. He says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. And then it says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, through the Holy Spirit, is made alive again. A new person. We often speak of people accepting the Lord, accepting Jesus Christ. And that's a part that we have to do. I hope in Vacation Bible School, I hope Shelby and others saw boys and girls come to know Jesus Christ. Amen? And some young boys and girls who are Christians, that they began to grow a little bit spiritually. We speak of people accepting the Lord. And that's fine. But let's not forget the other part of it. That when they accept the Lord, who caused them to be born again? Who caused the change to take place? None other than the Holy Spirit. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, after I became a Christian, I'm very thankful that a week later, the Lord led me to another Christian that was with a group called the Navigators. How many of you ever heard of the Navigators? Okay, they emphasize evangelism. They emphasize discipleship. And they emphasize scripture memory. And I was with them for about 8 years. And I grew through their ministry. It had an impact on others through the ministry with servicemen and Marines and so forth. But one of the verses we had to memorize was 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. I have a friend of mine that used to quote it this way. He said, if any man is in Christ, he's a new critter. Amen? If you know Jesus Christ, you are a new critter. You are a new creation. The old has gone, it says. The new has come. And some of you can testify, say, Bob, my old life was so different. And when I came to know Jesus Christ, and I was born again by the Holy Spirit, I was a new person. And the Bible teaches us in 2 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, we need to grow. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby toward spiritual maturity. But the Holy Spirit is the one who causes us to be born again. Also, the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit. Every creation by the Holy Spirit is baptized by the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. That's the church. Whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Also, the Bible teaches that every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen? It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? And I circle in my notes the word in. He's in you. Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And that's the price that Jesus paid on the cross. Amen? It says, for the righteous died for the unrighteous, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And then it says, therefore, honor God with your bodies. The way you are to live physically. These bodies are to be used for the glory of God. And who lives within every Christian, without exception? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And I think we Christians sometimes shy away from the Holy Spirit and teaching the emphasis of the Holy Spirit. Because of some circles, perhaps there's an overemphasis or there's a raw emphasis. Experience and some ecstatic happening. But I would suggest that we need to know what the scriptures teach also about the Holy Spirit, as your pastor has been teaching. Perhaps the most important verse regarding the Christian life, how we live the Christian life, the core of the Christian life, is Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to look at this morning how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, being filled is an issue of control. Issue of control. We need to get a grasp of what this word means, fill. All the English translations of the scriptures use the word fill. And we need to understand, what does it mean to be filled? When we think of the word fill, we often think of taking a cup and just filling it with to the brim, or going to a gas station. And I'm sure those on vacation have been traveling and so forth, you've been filling up the gas tank a lot with gas. And we might think that's what it means to fill and to refill and to refill and to refill. And I suggest that's really not what the word here means. The Greek word has three shades of meaning, and they're all important. Number one, a force that moves means to fill. For example, the word is used to describe the wind filling the sails of a ship. The wind filling the sails of a ship, providing the force that moves the vessel and directs the vessel. When we apply this concept to our spiritual lives, we find the Holy Spirit, He is the force. I use the word force, He's a person. But He is the force that moves us along the way, day by day. We live in a beautiful area of Pennsylvania. And think of a raft on a river, a raft, a river. It will go downstream as the current carries it along. The raft do not have any ability to go where it wants to go. It is completely subject to the flow of the river. That's the idea of being filled here of the Spirit, of direction, of moving along, a force that moves. There's a second idea with the word fill. It's one that you can identify easily. How many of you like coffee? Okay, all right. How many of you like, we got an example right here in the back of coffee. You want to share? No, she can't share it with everybody. Anyway, how many of you like sugar in your coffee? All right. How many like cream? Okay, all right. The word fill here has the idea of, let's say you take coffee and you put your cream in or sugar in, it permeates the whole, every sip you have, you can taste that cream or that sugar. Amen? That's the idea here. I've often told my children the Christian life is meant to be a what? A life. For some Christians, I'm being judgmental here, I'm going to say next, and it may not be absolutely true. For some Christians, when they think of their Christian life, they think of Sundays, going to church. They think of Wednesdays, of going to prayer meeting. And to them, that's the Christian life. I'm being judgmental here, okay, to illustrate. The Christian life is meant to be a life. It's meant to permeate every area of your life, your parenting, your studies at school, the way you treat strangers, the way you treat people. It's to your value system, the way you think what is important to you. The Christian life is meant to permeate, you get the idea? Every area, like a sip of coffee, that you can taste that cream or that sugar. And every drop, every sip is permeated. That's the idea here of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Permeate. Every area, every part of our life ought to bear the flavor of His presence in our lives. Amen? When you meet strangers, sometimes, I have had this experience, they say there's something about you. What is it? And I tell, it's not the aftershave lotion. No. But that's the idea here. The third idea, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And this, I think, is the most important, the overriding idea of the word fill. It means to take control. To take control. Total control here. Dominated by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus spoke to his disciples that he would be leaving them soon, he says in John chapter 16:6, because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. You are being dominated. You are being overcome with grief. You are being controlled by grief because I told you I am leaving. I love children. I love young children especially. And one of the things young children, you know this, especially toddlers or infants, when dad or mommy leaves them, they are overcome often, and they cry and cry and cry and cry. That's the idea here. Total control. We see this also in chapter 5 of Acts with Ananias and Sapphira. It says that Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you receive for the land? Satan dominated them and controlled them. That's the idea here. Total control. It says in Ephesians, do not get drunk with wine, that it controls you and leads to debauchery and ruin and shame. But he said, instead, be filled, be controlled, be under the influence, be under the dominance of the Holy Spirit. Yes, love the Lord Jesus. But you would not be a Christian if he did not go to the cross and die for our sin and take the penalty. But you cannot live the Christian life apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Secondly, be filled is not an option. The word here, be filled, is in the imperative form. It's a command for every Christian. It also is in the second person plural. It says, it's like, y'all be filled. Every one of you as Christians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's addressed to every Christian. It's not for a super Christians or elect group. Every Christian is to be filled. It's a command of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, being filled is a process. What I mean by that? Well, process can be misunderstood. What I mean by that, it's in the present tense. The idea here is to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually let that wind fill the sails. Amen. Continually, as you sip that coffee, may the Holy Spirit totally flavor your life. And may you continually be under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's not a one event, as some Christians would say, not some experience that must take place regarding the Holy Spirit. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit, you are the temple. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within you and me. There's a sense in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit came upon certain individuals for a time to accomplish a certain event or a certain thing. But it's not true in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2, we read, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon all of them. that were there, Jew and Gentile, that followed Jesus Christ. We don't get filled with the Holy Spirit and expect him. We need to live by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, I cannot fill myself. I cannot fill myself. As I said earlier, we speak of people accepting the Lord, and I do that all the time. You know, I led people to the Lord. I say someone accepted the Lord and so forth. And that's true. That's the human side. The divine side, Jesus said, you must be born again. And that cannot happen with the person. They cannot do it themselves. You must be born by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts a person of their sin and lets them know that they are sinners and their lives are not right with God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm in the process of developing a workshop for our church on evangelism. And we'll be teaching probably in September, maybe, for several weeks. But I can remember, and maybe I shared this with you before, I can remember the navigators. We went out witnessing one night. I went out knocking doors in the barracks, and a guy accepted the Lord. And the next day, we went back. The guy that was with me and I went back to try to begin follow-up with him and help him. I'll never forget it. The person I led to the Lord the night before almost denied everything. Almost denied that he even talked to me the night before. And God used that in my life. Because as I thought about that, I thought, that wasn't a birth. That person wasn't born again. That is what I would call a stillbirth. Amen? And the Lord used that. I love to witness. I love to share about the gospel. And the Lord used that experience with that experience I had as a teenager. I took a life-saving course. And maybe I shared this with you before. The life-saving course, we were told, if somebody's drowning, you swim out to that person. And if as they're flashing, thrashing in the water, you don't go in and grab them. Why? Because there's a good possibility you both might drown. That person in his or her strength will grab you. And so proper life-saving, we were told to swim within 3 or 4 feet of the person and tread water, keep your eyes on that person. And I'll never forget what the instructor told us. He said, let them drown a little more. And I've used that witnessing. When I know someone that needs the Lord, I want to witness to them. I pray. I tell people when I witness, the most important thing about witnessing is prayer. And I pray, Lord, when do you want me to go in? When do you want me to go in and share the gospel? Because I do not want a stillbirth. Or I do not want simply a decision. When I was in service, when I became a Christian, my roommate, I don't remember his name any longer, that was 50s, some years ago now, but my roommate, every time he would go out drinking, every time he came home back, he was drunk, he said, tell me about your Jesus. I tell him, no. I said, when you're sober, ask me. Guess what? You know, he never what? Asked me. And I was told, I learned a witness say, let them drown a little more. And if you have a friend or somebody you're trying to win to the Lord, pray and pray and pray. Amen? And when should I go in and share the gospel? And I'm so thankful for that stillbirth. The first person I led to the Lord was a stillbirth. I'm thankful. Because God used that to teach me. That's not about decisions. It's all about being born again. And the one who does the birth part is the Holy Spirit. You share the gospel, yes. They accept the Lord, yes. But the one that causes life is none other than the Holy Spirit. I cannot fill myself with the Holy Spirit. In the text, it's a passive voice. In other words, the people to whom Paul is talking to and gives this command, they cannot do the action. The action is done by the Holy Spirit. He fills us. He fills us. A couple of verses, interesting. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, it says, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Another verse, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. In both these verses, the Greek phrase is by the Spirit, not with the Spirit. We must be born again by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. God wants us as Christians to be continually controlled by the Holy Spirit. I think perhaps the most important verse for the Christian, how to live the Christian life, is Ephesians 5:19. Do not be drunk, 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Let me share two other negative thoughts regarding the Holy Spirit that's important for you and I. You and I, as Christians, if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must not grieve the Spirit. It says in Ephesians, and turn to it if you would, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. 4:29. Holy Spirit is very important for the Christian. We've been baptized by him into the body, the church. We've been born again by him. He indwelt each and every believer, and we are to be filled. It says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Again, this is book Ephesians on the church. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Beautiful verse. That last verse, precious verse. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Go back to verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. What does it mean to grieve? What comes to my mind, the word grieved, is pain or distress. Do not cause the Holy Spirit pain. And I'm sure in my Christian life, I have caused him many times anguish and pain. I have grieved him. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? In verse 29, by unwholesome talk, by swearing, by using language that we ought not to be using. Amen? Some people say, well, he's a wonderful Christian in the church, but you should see him at the workplace.
You should hear what he says.
And I would suggest that grieves the Holy Spirit. Also, by bitterness, and rage, and anger that's not proper, not healthy. There's an anger that is healthy and proper. Brawling, slander, but rather be kind and compassionate. When I'm not, those things, those actions, those attitudes and actions, they cause the Holy Spirit to have pain. And I think we can all identify with that. Well, I say this. How many of you, and I will ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have been saddened or caused pain by your children? Sometimes. And you know what I'm talking about. It grieves your heart. It has caused pain. You love your son. You love your daughter. But nevertheless, there's times that perhaps they have caused you lots of grief. Amen? Take that step further about our Heavenly Father, about the Holy Spirit, about the Son. Do we ever cause a spirit? It says here, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I ask you, who's the boss? Who's the boss? Secondly, the word grieve has idea of pain. It also says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the spirit. Another thing, what does it mean to quench the spirit? I think of a fire. The Holy Spirit is a fire within us. It gives us that vitality. And what does it mean to quench? Tossing the water upon it. Put the fire out. Smother it. Snuff it out. Do not quench. Let the Holy Spirit have free course in your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you and teach you and your attitudes and your actions. Let him tell you what you've done wrong and what I've done wrong. It says, do not quench. Do not douse. Do not quench the Spirit. Those are two commands. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He lives within you. He takes up residence within you. And he wants to be the boss of your life for good. Amen? For good. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Lastly, the Holy Spirit fills me as I let the word of Christ dwell in me. A wonderful verse, and you may want to mark this down, Colossians 3:16. It said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. We know from 2 Timothy 3:16-17, that all scripture is inspired by God, is profitable, is useful for teaching and rebuke and correction, instruction. And as I said, you cannot live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit. You cannot really live the Christian life apart from allowing the Word of God to dwell within you. God uses His Word that we can grow thereby and mature thereby, teach us the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. The Holy Spirit fills me as I let God's word dwell in me. How many of you can say, Bob, there's been times when I've been riding along and doing this or that, I was in this situation, and suddenly out of nowhere, God brought a verse to my mind. Praise God. That's the Holy Spirit working. I bring those verses to mind to encourage you, to strengthen you, to exhort you and me. So I thought I would continue this series of your pastor on the Holy Spirit with, I believe, it's the most important verse regarding how do I live a Christian life. What's the core? Is it my self-effort? Not really. Do not be drunk with wine that leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled continually be filled under control, under the direction, under the ministry, in every area of your life, be filled by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you teach us very clearly that our lives are not to be what they were before. And we're not to live for the values or the lifestyle or what we did before. Whether we were a good sinner or a horrible sinner by lifestyle. If we come to know Jesus Christ, we've been born again by the Holy Spirit. We've been indwelt by him. And we are to be under his control. As we yield to him and each and every day say, Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. As I begin a new day, we give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.